You may have a seat. As you do so, good morning. Officially now. Hope that you're well. Hope that you weathered the rain better than Pastor Todd did. I met him this morning and all he was like, I just need to see the sun. I'm like, bro, it's been a week. I think you'd be fine. Welcome to those of you in Paulden today. We're excited for what God is doing there. Love to hear from Mike and Sue, who were just the best hosts ever, just what you guys are doing and how life is changing. Also, Baghdad, we're so excited. Randy and your crew and just how you keep showing up and keep seeing people and what God's doing. We're just grateful for all you're doing and how we get to walk alongside each other. So welcome this morning. I need you to do something for me, okay? This is an invitation, but the invitation is much bigger than just like something in here. The ripple effects of this matter. And so what I would say is this, that yes, there is a camera in the lobby. Yes, there is a light in the lobby. Yes, there is a microphone in the lobby. What we need is for you to use your voice. We would like to, this Christmas season, get the good news of Jesus to as many people in our church family, in our community, and who knows where God uses it and what he does with it. And so what we would love to happen is for you to be willing to go stand in front of a microphone, which I know is scary. I might do it a few times in my life, right? Really, nothing. Okay, that's how it's going to be. All right, game on. But stand in front of a microphone, and here's what we need. We just need you to give good news. I know Jesus is good news because I ate 3 meals yesterday. Right? Like, it doesn't have to be overly complicated. We're not asking you to preach. You don't need to give the gospel. Right? You just show up and go, I know Jesus is good news because he healed my mama. I know Jesus is good news because when I thought my marriage was going to fall apart, he held it together. That simple. It doesn't have to be overly complicated. You don't have to get into all the details of what was wrong with your marriage. You just need to show up and go, I know Jesus is good news, and here's why. Why? Because the world is starving for good news. And so we're just going to provide it. But it requires that you go to a mic and go, hey, I got something to say. I know Jesus is good news because. And then we'll see what God does and where that goes and how he uses it and what that looks like. But we're going to use that as we lead into the Christmas season together. Second thing I want to let you know about that's exciting, that's an invitation. You might remember in March, we were talking about our youth spaces were kind of crowded and needed some help. They needed some infrastructure put in so that the ministries, the students that are meeting in there, it could be done better and essentially reach more, that whole thing. And so along with that, we asked, hey, would you be willing to help fund it? To which over $200,000 was raised, which is amazing, right? Well, what I'm excited to tell you is not next weekend, the first weekend in December is open house because the build out should be done. What that means is if you're on this location, you can go to H2, the building straight across from here, and you can see on that weekend, see what ended up being put in place and what the build out looks like and what the students there will get to experience. You can also on that weekend go to Park Collective and go into the commons and kind of open house that space as well and see what was done with what God provided. And so just a way for you to be connected so that be excited for what God's going to do in the lives of students in those spaces. Okay, you ready? I need you to reach down to the right and grab the seatbelt that's next to you and buckle up. It's amazing how many of you just did that. Okay, that's another sermon for another day. Here's the thing. We got 30 minutes. We got to go, okay? We got to roll. So we've been in this conversation about the generous life. If you remember, we talked about birds last week. Anybody remember birds? Anybody remember how God feeds the birds? I got bored in between services last week, so I was like, how many birds are there on the planet? And God goes, or not God goes, ChatG. Oh, you can't make that up. That's great. Oh, so good. ChatGPT told me. Just need to clarify that. Between 50 billion and 430 billion birds, kind of a wide range, exist on the planet. So maybe in our language, we'll just go, that's a few. Okay? and God fed them all this week. I just want you to know, I have a picture, because we talked about it last week. This was Monday morning at my house. And my wife sending me a Snapchat saying, yep, you fed the crow this morning. What I want you to know is how much trash is left in the trash can. Why? Because when God provides, he's abundant. He's not lacking in resource. And so God used us to feed the crow last Monday morning. And I just thought it was kind of funny. Like, yep, you can't make it up. But it captures this idea of the generous life. Like, the generous life is the life that God intended for you in Jesus. A life that is bigger than you, that is given away, that is lived on mission, on his kingdom mission. And what happens is the ripples of that go out that are much larger than your life. You can live that way. You were intended for that. And so we started talking week one. Okay, if that's the case, then what are the principles that we see that build the generous life? The first one being that you have to trust God. The first thing we looked at is your trust has to be in him. Remember the sending out of the 72? God sends them out. He doesn't give them anything. He's like, just trust me. And so they go out and they trust him. Then the next week, we talked about this idea of greed, right? That you can amass all these possessions. And what Jesus says is you can do that with this one life. You can live your life amassing whatever form of greed suits you. But don't expect to find life inside of it, because life can't be found there. Then last week we talked about, okay, if I'm trusting God and I'm not looking for life inside of greed, then Jesus gets into this like, okay, so don't worry then. And a sign that I'm not maybe amassing greed, but I'm holding on to things is that if I have anxiety and worry about the simple things of life, which is where the birds came in last week. Well, this week I would say to kind of put a bow on this collection, so to speak, to kind of take Jesus's thoughts and hopefully put them all together to go, this is the full perspective. Why? Because when your perspective changes, your posture changes. When your posture changes, your actions change. Your perspective leads to your actions. When I was 24, my wife was pregnant with our first child, and I was that guy. I wanted a boy, right? Like, I told everybody I knew, what do you think you're having? We're having a boy. Right? Like, why do you want a boy? I want to teach him how to play soccer, right? Like the whole like male gene dad thing, right? And then I went to a marriage conference and I sat in this one session, and there was a guy on stage, and he was just talking to the guys in the room, and he was talking about the relationship he had with his daughter. And it was one of the most beautiful things I'd heard. It sounded amazing. So much so that my perspective totally shifted. I left that session, went to lunch with my wife and our friends, and we're sitting at lunch, and I go, I want a girl. To which God was like, okay, slugger, I'll change the sex for you. Hang on, right? But all of a sudden, there was this transformation because my perspective had changed, my posture changed, which led to a change of action. My action was different. I genuinely wanted a daughter, and God goes, well, here you go. Here's four, right? Can I give you a pro tip from a girl dad? When you see a girl dad out with his girls, please don't look at them and go, you're gonna keep trying for that boy? It diminishes what God has given. Please don't do that. If you get punched in the mouth by that dad, you deserved it, okay? Just gonna put that out there. So, moving on, your perspective directly impacts your action. And we were chatting about this in our teaching prep this week. And in Psalm 94, Pastor Ben was like, you know, the Psalms always change my perspective. They always shift my perspective. And he read this, and it's in verse 9. It says, does he who fashioned the ear not hear? Does he who formed the eye not see? Does he who disciplines the nations not punish? Does he who teaches mankind lack knowledge? The Lord knows all human plans. He knows that they are futile. Anybody in the room just go, okay, I got a little more perspective on who God is. He hears, he sees, he's the only one that can bring judgment. In fact, I read this and my perspective was such that I was like, why do we spend so much time in planning meetings? Right? Like, if it's all futile, like, let's just Why are we doing it? And it's interesting, isn't it? That if we put it in a different context, if I'm going to build a house and you have the blueprints, how weird is it of me to not come to you and go, hey, can I get the blueprints? I'm going to build the house. And yet with God, that's something we do until our perspective changes and goes, hey, God, you got the plan. I don't. I think what Jesus was doing in Luke chapter 12 is he's unrolling this plan for the generous life. He's shifting perspective. He's getting you to get your trust off of yourself and get it onto him. He's getting you to not live with worry and anxiety. And in verse 27, I don't know which service you were in, and two of those, I read this passage last week. If you're like, he's reading the same passage again, there's a purpose, just hang with us. Verse 27, consider how the wildflowers grow. They do not labor or spin, yet I tell you, not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. Consider what? Wildflowers. Well, that's a little weird. We're talking about birds, now we're talking about wildflowers. What is Jesus getting at with the wildflowers? Because the hills were covered in them, and they were so beautifully adorned. All colors were there, and they were vibrant. And so much so that he goes, hey, you know the richest king in your history who was all about the splendor of being a king and how he dressed and what he wasn't even dressed as good as these wildflowers are. Because God has poured out his extravagant beauty onto them. Why? I mean, think about a wildflower for a second. A wildflower is fragile. Like, it's easily broken. It's not an oak tree, right? It's just this spindly little flower. It's fragile in nature. It says here, as he continues, he says, if that's how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, how much more will he clothe you of little faith? Right? Like, so he goes, yeah, they're fragile, but they're also extremely temporary. So what you have in the picture of the wildflowers is you have it's fragile, easily broken, and it is temporary, it is limited. I think it's fascinating that when you look at what God is doing, that he takes all of this creativity, this extravagant beauty, this blessing, if you like, and he pours it out onto these flowers that are both fragile and temporary. They're easily broken and they're limited. And then it hit me. We are fragile and temporary. We're fragile and temporary. Oh, you don't believe me about the fragile part? Monday, I get home and I'm like, babe, something's up with my eye. Like, I don't know what's going on. And literally 2 hours later, I'm on the couch and can't move, right? Like I have this migraine now behind my eye and I'm like in miserable pain and just laying there. Football was on, couldn't even watch football. I had to listen to it, you know, that whole thing. We're pretty fragile. My eye... And I'm out for the count. Like, I'm down. Like, babe, I can't do nothing. Some of you got this thing called hanger. Right? You get hungry and you turn, nobody, right? You bunch of liars. Lunch is an hour late and you're like, oh my gosh. And you start eating the people you love around you, right? We're so fragile. How do you think about it? Some of you will go to lunch today. And the wait staff will take a little while, and you'll start mistreating them because you're hungry. That's how fragile we are. I mean, think about it. You have one conversation with your wife in the morning or somebody you care about or your kids or whatever, right? Like, and all of a sudden, the whole day is ruined because of that one conversation. We're just fragile. We're easily broken, and that's not even the big stuff of life. We're just fragile. You know what else? You're limited. You have a shelf life. There is a use-by date on you. And some of you got a best use-by date. You know that one? This is really going out to the interwebs, huh? That's great. I mean, think about it for a second. Everything around us gears us to think we are anything but fragile, and we are definitely not temporary. Right? Everything around us gears to think the opposite, and we need a perspective change so that we can grasp what is actually happening with us within the kingdom of God and grasp how important this fragile and this temporary life really is. He says in verse 30, for the pagan world runs after all such things. The pagan world, right? So just slowing down for a second, you realize there is a world system that we live inside of, and the world system is geared and put into motion and organized by the enemy of God, right? Like this is not some conspiracy theory. This is true, factual, firm scripture, that the enemy has this world and its systems in place. And what is those systems geared towards? That you would forget who you really are every single day. How do I know that? You have this thing called a phone. Right? Like, and we often get on social media, right? Like, we're often like, oh, social media, it's just a distraction. Distract you from what? To be unsettled, to think everything in your life, you need this, you need that, you need to chase that, right? You realize that social media is just getting, essentially, they're paying for your attention. I don't need social media to distract me. I got a phone in my pocket, and I got the ESPN app. Din-in-in, din-in-in. That's all I need, and I'm distracted. Some of you, it's news. You got news updates. And that's just like one itty-bitty thing that is used to distract us, right? But don't miss it. It's part of a system that goes, hey, if I can get you to get your eyes off of God, if I can get you to forget who you are, if I can get you to center in somewhere else, then you're going to miss what this fragile and temporary life is all about. He goes, the world outside, right? Like, remember the context of this is he's talking to his disciples. He's talking to those that have said yes to Jesus. He's talking to those that are followers, would consider themselves followers of Jesus. And he goes, hey, everybody outside of the followers of Jesus, they're chasing after these things that are temporary and fragile. I feel like I just going through the walkthrough last night, and I was like, man, the scripture needs a bouncing ball sometimes so that we get the, right? Like he says, the pagan world runs after all such things, and your father knows that you need them. Like, I just think it's like this, I don't think it's like, and your father knows that you need them. I think it's like, and your father knows you need them. I think it's like just this like simple, like really solid, happy news. Hey, you don't gotta go chase all the temporary and fragile stuff. Why? Because your father knows that you need them. Oh yeah, it's just like he's got it. Verse 31, but seek his kingdom. Now what's interesting is in verse 29, he says, and do not set your heart on what you will eat or drink, or do not worry about it. Okay, so two verses earlier, he goes, do not set your heart. Now, he gets to this one, and he goes, seek. Now, do not set your heart is the same word as the seek later. So you could say, do not seek, what you will eat or drink. Okay, so eat and drink is very temporary, right? Like very basic needs. Don't even seek those because your father knows you need them. And then he goes, but what you should do is seek his kingdom. Okay. What is his kingdom? Because I'm told don't seek this fragile temporary life, right? That if I'm going to live a generous life bigger than myself, how do I do that, God? Well, Jesus is saying, well, you take your desire to seek is to take my desire, to take my pursuit, what I'm pursuing in life, to take that. And there's a word here that's worth underlining, circling, right? but seek, verse 31, but seek his kingdom. Okay, God, in a conversation about temporary and fragile, you now tell us to seek your kingdom. What's the difference in the kingdom? Well, you remember we were singing that song earlier. We came out and talked about it. Remember the God who is infinite, right? Like he what? He was and is to come. He's infinite. So what is his kingdom? Well, you go back through scripture and you find that with David, he's setting up a throne that what? Will never be dethroned because Jesus is on the throne for all of eternity. What you get in this moment where he says, but seek, put your desire, your pursuit in his kingdom, you get a kingdom that is anything but fragile and anything but temporary. Right? It's eternal. So what are we to seek? We're to seek what is eternal and not what is fragile and temporary. We're to seek what will not wear out, what will not die, what will not fade, because there is a God who cannot fade. There's a God that cannot be defeated. You realize the king in heaven over the kingdom, he never gets the throne for all of eternity. That's the security that you're banking into. So then he ends that with seek his kingdom and these things will be given to you as well. So those things of the temporary and fragile, guess what? When I seek his kingdom, the temporary and fragile, I mean, it's kind of like the bouncing ball again, right? Like these things will be given to you as well. Verse 32, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. What's going to stop you from living for the kingdom of God? Fear. Every time. Why do you think the device in your pocket is geared towards raising fear inside of you? Right? Because that will stop you living the generous life because you will hunker down. He says, don't be afraid. And I love it. It's little flock. Little flock. Okay, two things are happening here. He's re-emphasizing, these are my kids. This is my people. These are my followers. These are my disciples. That's who he's talking to. He goes, don't be afraid. We started out, remember, we started in chapter 10. And when he sent out the 72, he sent them out like lambs among wolves. Remember that? Sent them out specifically like poodles to bobcats. Do not be afraid, little flock. What is a little flock? A little flock is fragile and temporary. Don't be afraid. For your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. Your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. Wait, God sized the kingdom. You mean that kingdom that's never going to fail? That kingdom doesn't run out? That kingdom that has a king and has a specific way of life? That kingdom that is generous in nature because the king is generous? That kingdom that will go on for all of eternity? That kingdom where I get to be around the king and be in the presence of the king and never separated again? That kingdom? Yes. And guess what? He has given it to you. There's nothing left to gain. The kingdom has been given. You are already given everything, which is why in Ephesians it talks about, right, that you've been blessed with every spiritual blessing. So you're like, John, hang on a second though, right? Because I'm still temporary. The kingdom is already here, but not yet. So right here and now, right, eternity is real. I'm living for eternity. However, I will have to face physical death, right? It's this already and not yet. He goes, the kingdom is yours. Why is he telling them this? Because the next thing he's going to tell them is sell your possessions and give to the poor. You know what's interesting? He's just laid out life is fragile and temporary. But God's going to give you everything you need. Right? And he's like, even the kingdom. The kingdom has been given to you. You have everything you could ever want. You've been given everything by God. It is all yours already. So what can I do here? I can open my hands. I can sell my possessions. I'm not attached to them. They don't matter to me. What matters to me is this kingdom. What matters to me is that I'm viewing this from an eternal perspective. So what happens is when he says, sell your possessions and give to the poor, what he's saying is because all of this is secure, right? All of this is eternally secure. You can in turn now open your hands and give it away. You can live the generous life. Sell your possessions. It's a command, by the way. Sell your possessions and give to the poor. Second command is this: provide purses for yourselves that will not wear out. Provide purses for yourself. Okay, let's be clear with a command, right? A command is something you are told to what? To do. And sometimes I think we read this and we read it like in our own version and tone. Right? We read it like Jesus come along going, hey, church. Hey, you know those ones that are following me because I died on that cross? And you like said yes, and you haven't been doing anything with it. Well, it'd be really nice if you guys would like provide purses for yourself. That's not the tone. The tone is because all of that is true, because your future is secure, guess what? You can now live in such a way in this fragile and temporary life that I provide purses for myself in the kingdom of God. What does that mean? The idea is that I can invest, I can put into. What is the second word there? It's purses. That word purse is kind of like a bag. Culturally, you grab the bag. This is you creating the bag that you're going to grab in eternity. Right? So the idea is that what Jesus is getting at is that when you live this fragile and temporary life and you invest it into eternal things, you are putting you away into a bag in eternity that he says can never fail, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. He goes, you're banking in a place that it can never be touched. No one can ever take it. It's not possible. Okay, so what does that look like? Because sometimes I think we confuse how easy this really is. Park Collective last week, PV Youth had a Friendsgiving. And part of Friendsgiving was, hey, would you be willing to make a meal? So guess what? Some people made a lasagna. I don't know if they actually had lasagna. That's just what comes to mind, right? They showed up with their lasagna. All they were doing was what? Making a lasagna. But guess what? According to Jesus, you showed up as part of the generous life and you gave your lasagna. You took your effort, your time. Hopefully you had skill and the lasagna was good, right? Like you took your effort, your time. You created this lasagna and guess what? People were fed. And Jesus goes, you banked in eternity because you took this temporary and fragile and you gave it away on behalf of someone else. It's that easy. It's like you walking out, because all of you will walk out to where the light is out there and stand in front of a microphone and give good news. You're like, I'm just telling my story. I'm just telling what God has done. You don't know how God is going to use that, but your obedience to stand and go, this is my story and I'm sharing it. I'm giving it. However it wants to be used in the kingdom. Guess what? You are banking in your eternal purse forever. You chose to not invest it here. Right? I think this is specifically talking to of your finances. Right? How do I know that? The very next line. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Where your treasure is. I got an email this week. It had a quote from Billy Graham. Billy Graham's one of the heroes of the faith. You can read about him later. Billy Graham said this. Give me 5 minutes with your checkbook. Give me 5 minutes with your debit card, with your printout statement. Give me 5 minutes with your checkbook, and I'll tell you where your heart is. I'll tell you what you care about. I'll tell you what you're building in. I'll tell you where you're storing in, whether you're storing in the fragile and temporary or you're storing in the eternal. It's interesting. We do a moment of generosity in here every week. and you realize that moment of generosity is just an opportunity for you to go, God, I want to live what Jesus called me to live. He gave me two commands, sell my possessions, give to the poor. He told me to provide purses, to build into eternity. One of the ways you build into eternity is in this room, through screens and online, you can go, I'm going to take what God has put in my hand and I'm going to use it for the kingdom. Right? And so one of the ways it's really simple to do that is you go, God, I'm going to take what you have put in my hand. You have put my paycheck in my hand. You have put however that money ends up in my hand. God, I'm going to be faithful to what? Use it for the kingdom of God, to steward it towards the kingdom of God. One of the ways we do that is as a church. We compile all of our building purses. Why? So that we can make a mark for the kingdom of God where? In our community and in the people around us that we love. But it requires that you wrestle with, do I do this or don't I? Do I invest in the fragile and temporary? Or do I invest into eternity? What is the posture? Be dressed and ready for service. And keep your lamps burning, like servants waiting for their master to return from a wedding banquet, so that when he comes and knocks, they can immediately open the door for him. What that tells me is your posture, as you get a perspective that we are living for eternity, not the temporary and the fragile, that I'm not trying to build it here because whatever you have here disappears. I love that in teaching prep this week, Pastor Todd goes, hey, I was in Israel and you know what? Where these words were spoken, where the words of Jesus, they're just ruins now. The buildings don't even exist. How amazing, right? What a picture. That if we're banking on the things here, they're just fragile and temporary. And so what's our posture? That it says immediately. Why? Because what's going to happen? Either you're going to go meet Jesus or Jesus is coming to meet you. That's the future. You want to know what your future is? Either you, Lord willing, this doesn't happen to you, but you don't know if you're going to make it home today. You don't know if you get in an accident on the way home or someone you love. We have no idea. That's why the immediate matters. That's why we live expectant. That's why we live ready. We're servants of the master, so we live in a posture that's ready. Why? Why? Because we don't know if this is all we got in this fragile and this temporary. But I tell you what, I want to be building for eternity, not here. Because here's fragile and temporary. His kingdom's not. And it says we're to be ready. Why? So we can immediately open the door. Verse 37, it will be good. It will be good. Listen to this. It will be good for those servants whose master finds them watching when he comes. Truly, I tell you, he will dress himself. So the master dresses himself to serve, will have them recline at the table, and will come and wait on them. I mean, if you didn't have enough motivation, here's a little more. You ready? That when Jesus returns, it says that he is going to throw one outrageous barbecue. And you're invited to sit at the table with him. You're invited to be a friend, a family at the banquet. And get this, he is going to serve. Oh, man. How can I hold on to this life like this is all there is? How can I care more about my streaming services than my neighbor? How can I miss that today, you have the chance to make an investment into a bank that will never, never go bankrupt. That you can invest today. How? You get one generous life. That when Jesus saved you, you now have the ability to live the life you were created for in Jesus where you go, I'm giving it away for the kingdom. How will you use your generous life? Because only you can decide. God, we come before you this morning and we're just grateful. We're so thankful that we have a God who is faithful for so long. We're so thankful for the breath in our lungs today. We're thankful that God, not only do we have the ability to breathe and have life, but we have the ability to give back to you. That we can build into eternity. We can build into your kingdom. God, would you help us gain perspective even as we sing about how great you are? Would you help us gain perspective that the very breath in our lungs is on loan from you? Would you help us gain perspective that this generous life is to be given away? And so, God, as we respond in song, would you let us gain perspective from you in worship that carries us through our week, that carries us to our neighbor, that carries us to serving those around us, that carries us to give this life away. And so we thank you. We are grateful. And everybody said, amen.